The WCLT Radio Group, in conjunction with the Reporting Project and the Licking County Farm Bureau, present the Licking County Candidate Forum, live here on Kate 98.7. Tonight we'll be joined by candidates for the Licking County Commissioner, Licking County Common Pleas Judge, State Representative, and more. Now, the Licking County Candidate Forum on Kate 98.7.
Welcome, and thank you all for joining us for tonight's Candidate Forum, broadcasting live on Kate 98.7. I'm Kelsey with the WCLT Radio Group, and we are honored to have with us today the candidates running for Licking County Commissioner, Licking County Common Pleas Judge, State House of Representatives for 68th and 69th District, and State Senate for 20th District. All candidates for these races were invited in advance to participate, and we chose to continue today's forum without those who declined or did not respond. As we near the November 5th election, this forum provides an essential opportunity for our community to hear directly from those seeking to serve us in these important roles. The format of today's forum is straightforward. Candidates have received the questions in advance and will each have 90 seconds to respond to each question. Should a candidate exceed the allotted time, their microphone will be turned off at the 90-second mark to ensure fairness and to keep the event on schedule. If a candidate finishes before their time is up, we will proceed to the next question. It's important to note that this is not a debate or a discussion. Rather, it is an opportunity for the candidates to share their vision, plans, and priorities, and for Licking County voters to become informed about where each candidate stands on the key issues that impact our community. Thank you to all of the candidates for joining us today, and we thank those listening on Kate 98.7. We hope this forum helps you make informed decisions as we approach Election Day. Let's begin. Right now, I am joined by two of our candidates for Licking County Commissioner, Republican Dwayne Flowers and Democrat Bryn Bird. Now, we did do a coin flip beforehand to determine who answered our first question, and Dwayne Flowers won that coin toss. So, Dwayne, we're going to start with you. Can you briefly tell us about your personal and professional background and why you are running for the position of Licking County Commissioner? Your time to answer begins now.
I was born and raised in Licking County. I went to Licking Valley, graduated from college in the fall of 1971. I was offered a job with the Department of State Agency for International Development. At that time, I joined the military and graduated from the United States Army Drill Sergeant Academy. I returned home and married my wife, Marty, in 1973. We have two very successful children and five amazing grandchildren. I started multiple businesses over the year, but my primary business for 50 years was a custom home builder, building hundreds of homes in and around Licking County. I became mayor of Hanover in 2000, primarily because EPA was placing findings and orders on the village because of the private septic system's failures. By 2007, we had installed the central sewer system and plant, with every homeowner receiving a free tap and a monthly rate 40% under EPA's estimate, a task unheard of. We also asphalted every street in the village. Hanover became the fastest growing municipality in the state for 4 years. I ran for commissioner in 2012 because I care. I felt the urge from God to help protect our God-given rights and to be good stewards of the place He has given us to live.
Thank you, Dwayne. Bryn, same question. Can you briefly tell us about your personal and professional background and why you are running for the position of Licking County Commissioner? Your time to answer begins now.
I first want to thank the Reporting Project, WCLT, and the Licking County Farm Bureau for hosting tonight's important forum. My name is Bryn Bird, and I'm running for Licking County Commissioner. I have served as Township Trustee in Granville for the last 7 years in a nonpartisan position. I graduated from Northridge High School in 2002 and went on to the Miami of Ohio and George Washington University. My educational background is in public health and epidemiology, which makes me a pretty data-driven decision maker. Prior to being a Township Trustee, I spearheaded the Canal Market District in Newark, and my family owns and operates a produce farm in McKean Township for 29 years. So if you've been to any of the farmers market in Licking County, you've probably met me. I'm a mom of three girls under 10, and my husband Brian and I just celebrated 16 years of marriage last week. He's the sign guy. So if you see any of those signs out there, that's all him. My girls have been helping in the campaign and parades and making buttons, so it really has been our family's journey this entire year. I am running for county commissioner because we are 2.5 years post the Intel announcement and still without a countywide comprehensive plan, and have not increased our professional service capacity to serve the increased needs of the unincorporated areas and planning pressures we face. As trustee, I interact daily with county and see the overburdened offices dealing with increased pressures and workloads, slowing down the work of the people throughout Licking County. I love being a trustee, but I believe the last 7 years of service, I have developed the skills to move into a county administrative role and serve the entirety of the county.
Thank you, Bryn. I'm going to ask you our next question. Bryn, this one goes to you first. What have you done? Or would you do to help local officials in cities, villages, and townships manage growth and development in ways that preserve the character of their communities and serve the best interests of all residents of Licking County? Your time to answer begins now.
I do not want big government. However, I want effective government that serves its communities and face this new era of Licking County. When I am a commissioner, we have to face the fact it is a different time in Licking County, and we have to be ready to do things differently. Licking County is without a comprehensive plan. As a township trustee, one of the first things we are told is to be sure you have an updated comprehensive plan. Everything starts with a plan. Fairfield, Knox, Muskingum counties all have an updated comprehensive plan. Just consider that. All the counties on either side of us that don't have the opportunities and challenges ahead that we do are getting themselves organized. Last week in Newark, I listened to Lieutenant Governor Husted speak and share that the state has funding and support available for high-growth communities like Licking County, but without a fully developed plan of where we are headed, we are missing out on those funding opportunities. I have asked why we do not have a plan and met with resistance from leadership that this was attempted many years ago or that over a decade ago, townships didn't want that sort of help, but that was long before the new growth was headed our way. The conditions of conflict between communities have been set up in part because of the lack of a planning. Licking County must stick together. What happens in one community affects its neighbors, whether traffic, stormwater, school growth. We must mitigate this by strong leadership. It requires passionate commissioners getting out front, educating local leadership on the why, the purpose, the sense of urgency. Doing nothing doesn't have to be our only alternative. We cannot leave this burden of planning simply to local jurisdictions. Not all townships and villages have the same resources. This leaves communities unable to have the same level of planning and therefore an inequitable future.
Thank you, Bryn. Dwayne, same question for you. What have you done or would you do to help local officials in cities, villages, and townships manage growth and development in ways that preserve the character of their communities and serve the best interests of all residents of Licking County? Your time to answer begins now.
Well, I just talked about Hanover Village and how we made it a desired place to live. And there's many other things I could talk about, but I picked two subjects. The first one I would mention, the five-year bridge program that came about a few months after I was elected commissioner. Our new county engineer found out that we had over 150 bridges in structural failure, and some had already been closed. And his funding would only allow him to do one or two bridges a year. We worked together, put a five-year bridge program in place, and in 5 years, all 150 were engineered and 99 were completed. Probably the largest county bridge program in the state history. Today, our bridge program is back on schedule. Item number two would be the Buckeye Lake Dam closure. When announced, we heard evacuation orders go out. Businesses, agencies, and others were ordered to shut down and move immediately. Because the state wasn't talking, myself, Commissioner Dave Levesey of Fairfield County, and Commissioner Jim O'Brien from Perry County had a meeting set up for the next day. We set up the Buckeye Lake Steering Committee and agreed that we needed to speak as one voice for one region. We immediately did an economic impact study, which led to an economic impact grant, which we allocated to the many businesses around the lake to help them survive the situation. Today, that initial committee has evolved into the Buckeye Lake Region Corp, which is a respected organization around the state.
Unfortunately, we will need to move on to the next question. All right, Dwayne, thank you for your answer. I'm going to give you the next question. What are you doing or would you do to address affordable housing and homelessness in Licking County?
We, as commissioners, have dedicated to the Licking County Veterans Commission full funding so they can help provide housing to our homeless veterans, and we have collaborated with them to help repair such places as Terrace Gardens in Newark. We have worked with EMA in collaboration with the health department to provide emergency services. We have just signed an MOU with the health department, which provides them funding for what we call Navigator. There are other programs within the county government we work on, such as kinship, etc. Let us not forget the 2018 homeowner affidavit regulation that I exposed and stopped. This regulation would have added an extreme cost to all remodels and certain repairs on our private homes and would have infringed on private property rights. Violate it, and it could be a $600 fine or 1 year in prison. The overreach of government must be stopped and pulled back in order to help. We must partnership with communities and find developers who are willing to use such existing programs as the Department of Agriculture with their FMHA program that exists today. And there is the initiative by Licking County Foundation that we all just heard about that I do support.
Thank you, Dwayne. Bryn, same question. What are you doing or would you do to address affordable housing and homelessness in Licking County? Your time to answer begins now.
Oh, only 90 seconds to solve homelessness and affordable housing. However, I will say this is where the strength of Licking County shines most. Licking County is known regionally for our strong public-private partnerships and philanthropic stakeholders. I saw this during my time at the Canal Market District. Licking County just gets it done. For housing, I've sat down with many developers within the community, and they have said that to bring down the housing prices, we have to bring down housing stocks. But to do that, you have to bring down those underlying costs, using government to capital stack incentive programs. We can do this through resources like funding for new water and sewer projects, lobbying the state and federal funds for road development, planning and zoning for mixed-use developments that offset the cost of housing through retail, and through planning to get right developers in the right communities. Licking County needs housing at all levels, at all different points in a person's life, and transitioning from one phase to another, from just graduated to downsizing seniors. Not everyone is destined for a single-family home and home buyership. We need a variety of zoning and housing stock for this variety of phases in life. Homelessness is not just about housing and not just an urban issue. It is about a wide variety of issues that need various services, including mental health, addiction services, social services. The commissioner's office should be a leader in that conversation and assisting stakeholders in development of more supportive housing with wraparound services throughout the county.
Thank you, Bryn. I'm going to ask you our next question. Bryn, beyond growth and development, what are two or three other key issues you see facing Licking County, and what are you doing or would you do to address them? Your time to answer begins now.
My three issues would be child care and the stress on working families, strong school partnerships, and diversifying how and where services are providing. My husband Brian worked shift work at Boeing and Amazon and saw the desperate need for shift work child care options here in Licking County. I am so thankful Grow Licking County is looking at child care as a workforce development need and recently released a study they need an additional 3,800 child care spots here in the county. The commissioners can help this by securing and offsetting funds through incentive programs, expediting permits, and helping to establish open locations. We also need strong school partnerships. Maintaining excellence of our schools was one of the top three priorities the community expressed in the framework initiative. With growth and development, if strong partnership and communication with public schools isn't a priority, they can suffer and can grow quickly, and we can in turn look more like Delaware County with a tax levy on every year. Good planning allows for schools and communities and families to thrive. Also, diversifying how and where services are provided. I've spent a lot of time in the southwestern part of the county, and the community has different needs and feels completely separated from the county seat. Licking County is large, 682 square miles, and the population looks different and are changing from east to west. We need to look at how to service those populations better, increase and decentralize services, providing more flexibility and satellite services on the western part of the county.
Thank you, Bryn. Dwayne, same question for you. Beyond growth and development, what are two or three other key issues you see facing Licking County, and what are you doing or would you do to address them? Your time to answer begins now.
The cost of living is affecting all of us. I believe one of the issues we have to address is our property tax. The formula was found unconstitutional in the 1960s, but yet we continue today with the same program. In 2022, I made a motion to cut the county's part of the property tax, the inside millage, in half, which we did. This saved the taxpayers millions millions of dollars. The problem we have now is reappraisals are being done by state mandates, and our properties are becoming a burden to most of us as we pay these high taxes. Transportation needs to keep up with our development. The Licking County TID, which I am a founding member of and also chair, have projects going on throughout the county. Just for information, our first TID project saved the taxpayers over $7 million, so it's a great tool to use. We need to provide safe and reliable transportation, not to enhance economic development, but to make sure our family, friends, and neighbors can travel to their needed destinations, such as school and work. Water quality is also a major concern. We have 21 sewer plants in Licking County, and I believe all eventually run into the Licking River, right through the township I live in. We need to make sure all those sewer plants stay in compliance and that they reduce their permit violations.
Thank you, Dwayne. Last question for you, Dwayne. Why are you the best candidate for this position?
My life experiences prove I'm a leader, starting with my college days, my military service career. I have started many businesses and run a payroll. I have worked with the Licking Valley Schools and our financial advisory committee, architectural committees, and hiring committees. I have been a custom home builder developer for over 50 years, which requires a vision, a plan, and a final product. I have been mayor of Hanover, giving me more experience with dealing with people and planning for future and working with state and federal officials. I have worked with the governor and the governor's office on different projects. I am a founding member of our land bank, which cleans up abandoned and environmental damaged properties. I'm a founding member of our drug and crime lab, getting criminals off the street faster. And our restoration of our courthouse is a blessing to future generations. I just returned from Williamson County, Texas, with Jamie Green of Planning Next and Bill Lozier, our TID director, where we exchanged ideas with their commissioners so we can finalize our future planning needs. And to close, I'm probably the only county elected official who ever opted out of all county benefits, including health and retirement, which again will save the taxpayers of this county millions of dollars. Thank you all, and God bless.
Thank you, Dwayne. Last question for you, Bryn. Why are you the best candidate for this position? Your time to answer begins now.
I am truly invested in the success of Licking County. It is a pure joy for me to serve at the township level, and it would be an honor for me to serve the full county. I don't come at this from ego, but I see myself as the Licking County First candidate. I see it as a farmer, as a mother, as a small business owner, and a local leader. I want to protect our natural resources, and I know we need strong, passionate, and committed leadership. We need leaders ready to bring new ideas and not reactive, but proactive leadership, here to help the smallest communities. We have to plan, or our plan will be made for us. I believe our county office can use a different perspective. I think back to when I was first a township trustee, and we were putting in a turn lane in Granville. And at the time, the other road dead-ended, and nobody think we needed a turn lane. But as a young mother and the only mother in the room, I was able to say the two largest daycare facilities were on that road, and hundreds of families turned left every morning into oncoming traffic. Everybody realized the need for the turn lane, and so it was put in. There comes strength in leadership. There comes strength in leadership that includes different ages, different genders. Diverse leadership means stronger outcomes that serve the entirety of the community. I would really appreciate your vote for Bryn Bird for County Commissioner between now and November 5th.
Thank you, Bryn. And thank you both for your answers. When we return from the break, we will be joined by candidates for Licking County Common Pleas Judge. You're listening to the Licking County Candidate Forum on Kate 98.7.
Now back to the Licking County Candidate Forum on Kate 98.7.
I'm Kelsey, and welcome back. You're listening to the Licking County Candidate Forum on Kate 98.7. And right now I am joined by two of our candidates for Licking County Common Pleas Judge, Democrat David Brandstuhl and Republican Matt Koonsman. Now, we did do a coin flip to determine who answered our first question first. And Matt, you won our coin toss, so we're going to start with you. Matt, can you briefly tell us about your personal and professional background and why you are running for the position of Licking County Common Pleas Judge? Your time to answer begins now.
I'm Matt Koonsman, and I've served as a magistrate in the Licking County Common Pleas Court since 2020. I have 20 years of experience, a lot of it in courtrooms, trying cases. I've had cases in federal and county courts all across Ohio, trials and appeals. I've had cases in administrative courts like the Public Utilities Commission, the Board of Zoning Appeals, the State Fire Marshal. I've done corporate work. I've even argued in front of the Ohio Supreme Court. I live on the west side of Newark with my wife and daughter. I'm a member of the National Rifle Association and the Buckeye Firearms Association. So I grew up in a small town in northwest Ohio as a 4-H kid. My mom was a secretary. My dad worked in a factory. It's actually the same factory I worked in the night of my graduation. My dad and his brothers were all in the service, and they taught me respect for the law, hard work, personal responsibility, and the values this country was founded upon. And I've carried those through my career and passed them down to our daughter. And in talking with voters, there's concerns that they don't feel safe in their communities, that repeat offenders are cycling through the system, and that their rights and victims' rights are not adequately protected. I'm running because I believe our community deserves a judge who's tough on crime and protects the rights of victims. As a conservative Republican, I believe in upholding the law as it's written, rather than allowing personal views to influence rulings. I'm dedicated to making fair decisions for everyone, no matter their political leanings.
Thank you, Matt. All right, that same question goes to you, Dave. Can you briefly tell us about your personal and professional background and why you are running for the position of Licking County Common Pleas Judge?
Sure.
Your time to answer begins now.
Thank you. My name is David Branstool. I was born and raised on a family farm near Utica. Graduated Utica High School in 1985. I attended Ohio State undergrad. I attended Capital University Law School, where I was a member of the Law Review and received the American Jurisprudence Award in Constitutional Law. After law school, I returned home where I practiced law. I raised my family here. Practiced law for about 10 years. And then did a variety of work. I did a lot of criminal defense work. I did a lot of civil litigation, family and domestic relations work. I was elected to municipal court in 2003. I served there for approximately 6.5 years, and one of the things I did in municipal court was to start the county's first specialized docket, which is a drug court. It was called the LIFT Court program back then, and we developed a program to address repeat offenders and recidivism who were struggling with substance abuse and mental health issues. I was elected to the Common Pleas Court in 2010, was elected in 2012, and reelected in 2018. I presided over literally thousands of complex criminal and civil cases. I am a member of the Ohio Judicial Conference, the Ohio Common Pleas Judges Association.
Unfortunately, your 90-second limit was exceeded, and we will need to move on to the next question. David, I will give you the next question. What are you doing, or what would you plan to do to help reduce the crime in Licking County? Your time to answer begins now.
Judges have a specific role to play under the Constitution and our justice system. So there are some limitations on what we can and cannot do. We don't enact laws, but we are obligated to apply the laws that are enacted by the legislature and follow the decisions of the higher courts. For the past 20 years, I've been committed to reducing crime within the confines of my role by holding those responsible for crimes accountable and by supporting the recovery and rehabilitation of those who are committed to changing their lives for the better. For my direct impact on reducing crime as a judge in this county, I would point to three specific areas where we've implemented changes. We've increased our probation department's pretrial services, meaning that we have more oversight of and accountability for individuals accused of a crime while they await their trial. This reduces the likelihood that they will commit additional crimes during this time period. We can also help assess their needs and get them into treatment sooner. We've also established a reentry coalition to help formerly incarcerated individuals reenter society. These efforts help people reentering society find housing, treatment, sober support services, and that helps reduce recidivism. And I have also established and continue to preside over the drug court, which I've done for 15 years now.
Unfortunately, your 90-second limit was exceeded, and we will need to move on to the next question. Matt, same question. What are you doing, or what would you plan to do to help reduce the crime in Licking County? Your time to answer begins now.
In a word, consequences. When I started practicing law here in Licking County, it used to be the place that criminals avoided. Licking County had zero tolerance for crime or drugs. There was actually a rug over in the county building and the elevator up to the prosecutor's office that said Licking County, zero tolerance, and there was drugs with a big X through it. Judges and prosecutors used to say, "You're not in Franklin County anymore. You're in Licking County." People who committed crimes avoided doing it here because they knew there were consequences, often severe ones. The voters I've talked with, they see crime now in their neighborhoods like they never used to. Bold crime. A few weeks ago, my neighbor's car was stolen from their driveway at 11 a.m. in broad daylight. And it was low on gas, so did they run off with it? No, they took it down the road to Speedway and used the change in the cup holder to put gas in it. Now, does that sound like a criminal who's fearful of the consequences of getting caught? Now, regardless of whether someone is hurt or it's a property crime like theft, when a criminal is rightly convicted, there needs to be a consequence that deters them from doing it again, a sentence they deserve. And the impact on the victim of the crime needs to be considered just as much.
Thank you, Matt. Okay, David, same question.
Wait.
Actually, sorry. We are going to move on to our next question. Matt, what roles do faith and personal beliefs play in a judge doing this work? Your time to answer begins now.
Yeah, well, first and foremost, a judge must follow the law. And I pledge to follow the law and not try and rewrite it from the bench based on some sort of personal belief or views. Now, personally, I'm a dedicated Catholic. I'm a conservative Republican. These go hand in hand in that I have a set of guiding principles that apply in all areas of life. Now, this summer, I was talking to a large church group for a couple of hours, and one of the members asked me if I thought it was more merciful for someone who's convicted multiple times for drug charges to be released on probation or be sent to prison. And I got the feeling this was like, this is a personal issue for them. And it was someone in their life. And I responded, it depends on your definition of mercy. At first glance, it might be easy to say, release them, give them another chance. But is it more merciful to release someone on probation, even if it's strict probation, to the streets where they have the same triggers, the same peer group, the same negative influence, the same areas where they can access drugs like they did before? Or is mercy found in following the law, sending them to a place where they can't access drugs, where they can get substance abuse counseling, career counseling, education, access to social workers, access to therapists, spiritual counseling if they so choose? I believe that's more merciful. And that's where the influence of being conservative in my faith come into play doing this work.
Thank you, Matt. Same question for you, David. What roles do faith and personal beliefs play in a judge doing this work? Your time to answer begins now.
Judges have an obligation to perform their duties fairly and impartially without letting personal beliefs impact their decisions. We're charged by the Constitution with adhering to the law and the facts of each case. Fair and impartial trials require that judges separate their personal faith beliefs and legal reasoning when they provide their decisions. But articles of faith affect who we are as individuals and as a community. If we think about the values that we typically attribute to faith, things like atonement, redemption, justice, hope, integrity, labor, humility, these are all the same values that allow me to do my job effectively and inform the decisions that I make on a daily basis. Punishment is a part of it, a big part of it. And all of these things we're doing to address the issues we see in the criminal justice system, the drug court, the Reentry Coalition, increased pretrial supervision. Remind me of the religious parable. Give a man a fish, feed him for a day. Teach a man to fish, feed him for a lifetime.
Thank you, David. We're going to go ahead and give you our next question. David, what is the role of courts in addressing the drug and overdose crisis? Your time to answer begins now.
I've taken the approach that the courts have a prominent role to play in addressing the drug problem. I started the first drug court in Licking County 15 years ago in municipal court. When I came to Common Pleas Court in 2011, I started a second drug court. That was one of the first drug courts certified by the Ohio Supreme Court Commission on Specialized Dockets. I'm the only judge in Licking County that runs a drug court now. Not because there's not a need for it, because I'm the only one who's demonstrated the willingness to put in the extra time to address these issues that we all see come through the criminal justice system. Evaluation studies consistently show that while offenders are participating in adult drug courts, they are less likely to commit crime. This program provides individuals with a foundation to not only avoid recidivism, but to become productive members of society. Some of the people who have graduated from the drug court program have overcome some of the most unimaginable trauma and poverty and all sorts of childhood adverse experiences that we can imagine, and it's been effective.
Thank you, David. Matt, same question for you. What is the role of courts in addressing the drug and overdose crisis? Your time to answer begins now.
Yeah, the role of the courts is to follow the law, to punish those rightly convicted of crimes. And I think this is an area where myself and my opponent differ. In partnership with law enforcement, the courts and a jury, when they're involved, exist to determine guilt or innocence, and if guilt is found, to protect the community. The answer, again, is to have consequences for breaking the law, especially for drug traffickers or drug dealers. Now, my opponent released a man on probation for drug possession once in 2013 and then once in 2014. And this same man was sentenced to prison in 2016 for selling drugs. My opponent released him early. He was caught again in 2021. Guess what for? He had a hotel room full of drugs, including methamphetamine, which he admitted he was going to sell. And what happened to him? He went to the drug court, and he was released again. He wasn't only released, he was given this chance, but he failed to appear for his pretrial, failed to appear for his trial, and then when he finished, all the court costs and fines were waived, and the taxpayers had to pick up the tab for him. At a minimum, if a drug dealer is sent to prison, he's removed from society for a time where he can't sell poison, and his buyers won't steal from innocent people to get the money to buy it or to die after using it.
Thank you, Matt. We're going to move on to our next question. Matt, what are the biggest challenges facing the judicial system, particularly in Licking County, and how do you deal with them? Your time to answer begins now.
Hey, you know, I talked to a man at the Hartford Fair who came up to me, and he said he was just done with the judicial system. He said we needed to scrap the whole thing and start over. Now, I don't believe that, but after talking with him further, it turns out he was a victim, and he saw the criminal who robbed him, his family, and his business be released multiple times over and over, and he'd lost faith in the system. I've heard similar sentiments from those in law enforcement. They're frustrated with risking their lives every day, only to have the criminal they caught walk out the same door of the courthouse that they walk out of. Now, I tell my daughter, you won't get in trouble for making a mistake. Everybody makes mistakes. But you will get in trouble for making the same mistakes over and over, from not learning and changing your behavior. The biggest challenge to the courts is this growing number of cases, especially from out-of-county criminals. It's managing the criminal justice system so that repeat offenders are not cycling through the system, and it's protecting victims' rights as well. Once we start doing that, we can rebuild trust in the system. Trust not only from the victims who want to see justice done, but also from law enforcement who risk every day not coming home to their families while they're out protecting our families.
Thank you, Matt. David, same question for you. What are the biggest challenges facing the judicial system, particularly in Licking County, and how do you deal with them?
I think that our biggest challenges are continuing to deal with an increasing caseload in a growing county with limited resources. We also have to follow the law that the legislature passes. And there's been some criticism offered here about cases. There's no case numbers or case names associated with anyone. But I can tell you that we've taken this seriously in these criminal cases seriously in Licking County for my entire career as a lawyer, 30 years. I impose sentences that are consistent with my colleague, that are consistent with my predecessors, that are consistent with other judges across the county and the state. And this notion that there's somehow this wave of crime in Licking County just is not supported by the facts or the evidence. What do we do about it? We continue to be smart about it. We have to marshal our resources in a way that gets people the help they need so that they don't continually recidivate and commit new crimes. These are the areas that I've worked in for the past 20 years, and that, frankly, they're the areas that have seen the most progress. Every time the Supreme Court puts on a seminar, it includes treatment-based approaches to solving these issues. That's what we've done here.
Thank you, David. And last question for you, David. Why are you the best candidate for this position? Your time to answer begins now.
I would argue that nothing beats experience, and that my record of innovation and accomplishments, and that my commitment to making sure our justice system is fair, transparent, and independent over the last 21 years as a judge makes me the best candidate for the job. I've literally decided thousands of cases, and I've presided over nearly 300 jury trials, from aggravated murder, where I've imposed the most serious penalty, life without parole, to low-level felony offenses, to civil cases, from products liability to medical malpractice to contract disputes. And I've used the best of my abilities and resources that we have in the county to address these ways in a manner and in a way that tries to address some of the underlying issues that so that we can prevent some of these issues that we see in the criminal justice system, causing people to come back into our system. But bottom line is, experience makes the difference here.
Thank you, David. And Matt, last question for you. Why are you the best candidate for this position? Your time to answer begins now.
Well, just in response, I would say anyone can reach out to me. I can provide any information that I'm saying here today. I'm not basing it on my own opinion. It's on facts that exist out there for everyone. And they can check out the statistics for the victim of crime surveys. But I've spent my entire career in the courts, in front of many types of judges, handling all types of cases. I have the experience and skills for this position. But more than that, I've talked to many people in Licking County before entering this race. We've been to every part of Licking County, door to door, at festivals and fairs, community groups and social groups, talking with people who want a change, and they're frustrated with the direction that the court has taken. Our county's safety and protecting families are my top priorities, and I'm ready to ensure our justice system serves everyone effectively and fairly. I have the support of countless elected officials in Licking County, but more than that, I have something that my opponent does not. I have the support of law enforcement. I've been endorsed by the Licking County Prosecutor and the Licking County Fraternal Order of Police. And a sure sign that change is needed is when law enforcement does not endorse the sitting judge. And law enforcement has placed its confidence in Matt Koonsman for judge, and that's why I'm the best candidate for this position.
Thank you, Matt, and thank you both for your answers. When we return from the break, we will be joined by candidates running for State House Representatives of the 68th District. You're listening to the Licking County Candidate Forum on KATE 98.7.
Now back to the Licking County Candidate Forum on KATE 98.7.
Thank you, and welcome back to the Licking County Candidate Forum. You're listening on KATE 98.7. And right now I am joined by two of our candidates for State House of Representatives for the 68th District, Republican Thaddeus Claggett and Democrat Michael Smith. Now, we did do a coin flip to determine who answers first. And Thaddeus, you won our coin flip. So the first question is for you. Thaddeus, can you briefly tell us about your personal and professional background and why you are running for the position of State House of Representatives? Your time to answer begins now.
Good evening, Licking County. I'm Thaddeus Claggett. I'm pleased to be your representative in the 68th District, which is essentially from Newark on over in the west side of Licking County. My background is a lifetime Licking County resident. And my family been on the same road for 130-some years, so continuously. And so I know the county quite well from a business perspective. I've been the president of a mid-sized general contractor, Claggett & Sons. We're a family-owned business in our third generation in our 71st year. And so from that perspective, I know the issues of the county along with my volunteer work throughout the county for many, many years on various boards and commissions and so forth. And so that forms the basis of the love of the county in Ohio and American in general that I have. And I have the wealth of experience of a lot of wonderful people over my time pouring into me from an educational perspective in my early days, and the great work experiences and knowing the clients and so forth in this Licking County area. And so it's a great joy to represent the county. I follow in the steps of Jay Hottinger and the various reps here and senators. So it's a great opportunity to do this for you.
Thank you, Thaddeus. Mike, same question for you. Can you briefly tell us about your personal and professional background and why you are running for the position of State House of Representatives? Your time to answer begins now.
Well, good evening, Licking County. I was born and raised in Sandusky, Ohio, almost 71 years ago. Raised Catholic and graduated from Sandusky St. Mary's in 1971. I raised a family with my lovely bride of 53 years and now boast of 3 sons, 7 grandchildren, and 2 great-grandchildren. I love them all and couldn't be more proud of them. I am a retired bricklayer of 35 years. In 1989, we moved to Central Ohio and have been residents of Licking County since 1995. Right after last November's election, when Ohio voters decided to respect a woman's right to make her own health care decisions, 27 elected legislators, including that of our very own House District 68, put their names on a document saying, and I quote, "We will do everything in our power to prevent our laws from being removed based upon perception of intent." In other words, your voice doesn't matter. They knew full well what the intent of that amendment was, but chose to deny and defy the will of the voters yet again. When I was of military age, I was not called upon to serve. But when I realized that the very foundation, the bedrock of American democracy, was being eaten away like a cancer, I knew that the spirit of the brave soldiers who put their lives on the line and made the ultimate sacrifice was calling to me.
Thank you, Mike. Next question for you, Mike. Explain what you think could be done to improve relations between lawmakers of both parties and for the good of all Ohioans. Your time to answer begins now.
In my mind, it all hinges on attitude. When you approach your job unyielding power and unwillingness to compromise on anything, it naturally results in an adversarial reaction. You reap what you sow. In Ohio, one-party rule has become the norm. No attempt to compromise, because there is no need to compromise. When we get back to realizing that no one political party has sole ownership of honesty or corruption, or sole ownership of patriotism or treachery, or sole ownership of lies or truth, perhaps then we will open our eyes and see that there is more that we agree on than disagree. Attitude from our leadership is projected to our observers and listeners. I have always tried to parent by example and lead by example. When our children and followers see how the leadership acts and behaves, they tend to do the same. In order to change the attitude in the State House, it seems that we need to change who we send there. So I believe that a willingness to listen and relate to each other is the key. But that willingness is for each of us to find within ourselves.
Thank you, Mike. Same question for you, Thaddeus. Explain what you think could be done to improve relations between lawmakers of both parties for the good of all Ohioans. Your time to answer begins now.
That is a common question that we see in the political front. I've been at the process of the dealing with legislative issues in a national and state level and local level for about 20 years now, and I've just finished my first term as an elected official, and then why I'm running again is because this issue is real. It is not something that you can ignore, but it gets overblown in the sense that people tend to focus on the disagreements or what they see is coming across the news wires, and that tends to be the more salacious issues of the day. But in reality, if you walk the halls and do the work that we do, there is actually quite a bit of agreement in working together on various bills between the people from all persuasions. And I kind of approach this a little bit like Lincoln did in the heat of the war between the states, and that is he would comment that if I were in their position in the South with their conditions, I might think as they did, and vice versa, he would say. And so I think a lot of us can learn from that and be gracious in our activities with people, but there are things we're going to disagree about, and so those are things of principle, and so we need to act accordingly.
Thank you, Thaddeus. Next question for you, Thaddeus. What are you doing or would you do to ensure that tech giants are good stewards of Licking County's natural resources? Your time to answer begins now.
This is perhaps one of the things that I'm perhaps most suited to help out with in Licking County because of my background in civil engineering and the construction world. My company has built many major buildings here in Licking County and beyond. And so we have issues of law and issues of code that are in place for many years. And so it's not like this is a surprise or overwhelming to our system here in Licking County when these companies arrived. My role has been very, very active in regard to these companies that have come in. I know their people. I attend our TID meetings, which is our Transportation Improvement District. That was a huge issue in regard to the roads and utilities in that area. Water and sewer is a big issue with our Licking County people. Law enforcement, Licking County Health Department. All those things are well within the wheelhouse of my expertise, and I'm pleased to be able to help out in that regard because while it's very real, we have the establishment of these policies. And so all we're trying to do is respond to the concerns of the people that are seeing something, and my expertise allows me to go in and see it for what it really is and act in the people's best interest.
Thank you, Thaddeus. Mike, same question for you. What are you doing or would you do to ensure that tech giants are good stewards of Licking County's natural resources? Your time to answer begins now.
I would introduce and promote my Keeping the Promises plan. This bill would require Jobs Ohio to fully fund third-party benchmark environmental and health data for any mega development site in Ohio, which, when such a site is put into contract to be developed, the benchmark data must be acquired independent of any research conducted by the state of Ohio or the developing entity before production begins on the site. This data would be collected for an area up to 20-mile radius surrounding the development site, and the report must be made available to the public as a public document. Selection of the third-party research group will be done by an ad hoc citizens committee, which would consist of no more than one representative of the group developing that site. If the need should arise, the results of this study could be used to assure that all environmental and health promises made to the surrounding communities are kept. We must know with certainty the conditions of the environment, water resources, and health of the citizens surrounding these sites prior to the beginning of production. Knowing this will either prove that they are keeping their promises or that they are putting the surrounding neighborhood at risk of environmental or health conditions.
Thank you, Mike. Next question for you. Mike, how do you or will you work with local government officials to manage growth and development in Licking County? Your time to answer begins now.
I believe the primary responsibilities and opportunities of this office would be funding and regulation. To do that effectively would require regular communications with the county commissioners, Mid-Ohio Regional Planning Commission, and other entities. I think this would be most important and fruitful in the planning stages of the possible Amtrak expansion route between Pittsburgh and Chicago, which should come right through Licking County. By piggybacking off of the required infrastructure, it could make a rapid transit line from Newark to Columbus a very real possibility. For those with transportation challenges, this could open up a whole new array of employment opportunities, as well as many other opportunities. To address homelessness and affordable housing most effectively would require intense communications with those that are right down in the trenches addressing the most immediate needs. The homeless situation begs the old question, what would Jesus do? Somehow, I don't think jailing the homeless is the proper answer to that question. And certainly, we need to maintain an open and vibrant line of communication with our farming community, which has a tendency to be shoved aside and overlooked in our rush to develop. I believe that our farmers are the undisputed and underappreciated leaders in doing the most with nothing.
Thank you. All right. Next question, Thaddeus, same question for you. How do you or will you work with local government officials to manage growth and development in Licking County? Your time to answer begins now.
I think in my short time in the legislature, my record on this issue is pretty clear. And you can ask anyone who in Licking County who has met with me and dealt with the issues that we have together. Again, I am fully vetted in this issue of local governments and what's going on from the township trustees and the commissioners here in Licking County, our state officials. I was instrumental in getting the $90-some million for our Licking County roads. That was primarily my spearhead because I knew that the Licking County residents should not bear the brunt of that cost to their local roads. And so whether it's the township trustees for which I go to those meetings as requested, and the framework plan here in Licking County that was huge in our control over these development issues and helping various communities deal with that. I mentioned previously my work on the Transportation Improvement District. All these things are very real, and so having a relationship with our governor and our federal elected representatives, this is key to getting these type of things done. And I have a long track record of that. And so I think that it's pretty clear what I can get done, and I'm going to continue to do that because we have a lot of this to do. I've been on a number of these major sites, and there are things that I understand and can help Licking County navigate through that.
Thank you, Thaddeus. For our next questions, we teamed up with the Reporting Project for some of these questions. I'm going to let one of our partners here ask one of our questions.
Hi, I'm Abby from the Reporting Project, and I'd like to ask the candidates the next question. So, Thaddeus, we'll start with you. What are your thoughts about State Issue 1? Your time to answer begins now.
Thank you for the question, because I think this is an issue that is very important in this election. I think when you follow the money on any particular issue, it is perhaps the most telling. And in this particular case, I have a list in front of me. This is the first time I'm actually looking at notes tonight. And it's because the funding, the over $20 million in regard to Issue 1 is almost all outside of Ohio. And it's the Tides Group type people, the 1630 group and so forth, $6 million. It goes, all these groups that I have in front of me on this list, and you know, someone could contact me if you want to know more about this, but that is highly problematic. There's only a small percentage of this money that's funding all this is actually coming from within Ohio. And so I consider the issues of the opportunity here for the other side to call this a anti-gerrymandering is just comical. We want people to vote no on it. No, you know, because the challenge of this is a thing where it takes Licking County and our values here, and all it does is then say, in order to equal things out in these districts, we're going to go over and grab some people from maybe Franklin County and draw them into a very skinny, you know, salamander type district. Looks like a salamander. That's how that name came about years ago. And so that is highly problematic, and there's many things in regard to who it excludes from these, from this process, and it pays them an exorbitant amount of money. It is a terrible thing for Ohio.
Thank you, Thaddeus. Mike, the same question for you. What are your thoughts about State Issue 1? Your time to answer begins now.
Issue 1. The state constitutional amendment to end gerrymandering. A perfect example of why people don't and shouldn't trust our current state government. This is the third attempt at ending gerrymandering. Why? Because the first two times the voters of Ohio chose to end it, the party in power denied and defied the will of the voters. Now we have an amendment to take the legislative map drawing process totally out of the hands of the politicians, because we just can't trust them. Nothing validates the distrust more than the shameful, dishonest manner in which the party in power and its enablers chose to describe this amendment on the ballot. Frankly, the deceit and arrogance being displayed by the framers of this description and its advertisers just ticks me off. It is a mockery of the amendment's intent and effect, and is an insult to the intelligence of the Ohio voters. The perpetrators of this sham should be ashamed of themselves. Even in their ads, they point to the desire of Ohioans to put an end to gerrymandering, and then tell them to vote in a manner that would preserve it. The party in power is certainly not living up to the immortal words of Lincoln, a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. Just remember, to end gerrymandering once and for all in Ohio, you vote yes for issue 1.
Thank you both. My name is Emmett Anderson. I'm also with the Reporting Project. I'll be asking our final question. Mike, for you first, why are you the best candidate for this position? Your time to answer begins now.
Well, I have a very long and strong pro-labor background, former president of Bricklayers Local 55, delegate to the Central Ohio Labor Council, former board member of the Central Ohio Building Construction Trades Council. I know what it's like to lace up the work boots and pack a lunch every day, come home feeling like a horse that's been ridden hard and put away wet. I know, too, the importance of health care, retirement plans, and working conditions. I am proud of my background, my labor associations, and the hard work that got me to this stage of my life. I remember my high school civics class and just how a democracy is supposed to work. Yes, I know that we are a democratic republic, that our elected leaders are to act in our best interest as our representatives. But when the people speak through the ballot box, our elected legislators are to implement the will of voters, not deny and defy. This is the very bedrock of American democracy. We can lose our democracy peacefully through bad decisions at the ballot box. But show me an example of democracy being won or regained peacefully. That is not a fight that I am willing to leave to our children, grandchildren, or generations yet to be born.
Thank you, Mike. Thaddeus, the same question to you. Why are you the best candidate for this position? Your time to answer begins now.
Because I'm clearly qualified for the job from the standpoint of perspective on what it is I've done in life. I am the president of a company that's done a lot of good for Lincoln County, all the work. And so that all that means is you get to know the people, and the expertise I have in regard to the expansion here in Lincoln County for this time and space is kind of neat. That's a wonderful opportunity to serve my community in that regard. But, you know, I've had 17 years on the Lincoln County Library Board and the Chamber of Commerce and all the things from those perspectives around here on many other boards. I've set over 1,000 board meetings in my day. And so those type of things really help you hone your skill set and your understanding of the issues. And there are many. You know, we've got somewhere around 1,000 bills in front of us right now in the General Assembly. And those things take expertise that are forged from many years of dealing with issues like that, and you have to be ready at all times to have an understanding of the issues. So that's where it comes from. And I think if you ask around and anybody in Lincoln County that knows my leadership skills, that I think they'll support that. And I appreciate the opportunity to serve my fellow citizens of Lincoln County.
Thank you, Thaddeus. And thank you both for your answers. And thank you to Abby and Emmett from the Reporting Project for helping us out today. When we return from the break, we will be joined by state Senate candidates for the 20th District. You're listening to the Licking County Candidate Forum on Kate 98.7.
Now back to the Licking County Candidate Forum on Kate 98.7.
I'm Kelsey, and welcome back to the Licking County Candidate Forum. You are tuning in on Kate 98.7. Right now, I am joined by one of our candidates for State Senate 20th District, Republican Tim Schaefer. Nick Hubble, other candidate, did not respond to multiple messages. By default, this will make Tim our only Senate candidate responding today. Tim, can you briefly tell us about your personal and professional background and why you are running for the position of state Senate? Your time to answer begins now.
Sure. Thank you very much. And thanks to Kate98.7 for hosting this forum. That's a great public service that you do. I'm State Senator Tim Schaefer, and I'm proud to serve Licking County and the Ohio State Senate. I come from a family of teachers and preachers, so the service to our community is in my DNA, I guess you could say. I like to say that my parents left me the greatest gift they ever could have left me, and that is a great work ethic. And I've carried that into the state legislature to make sure that I'm representing Licking County and the whole 20th Senate District with vigor and with enthusiasm and with hard work. I'm very proud of that record. I'm a nonprofit executive. I run charities and nonprofits for a living outside the legislature, and that's what I've done for about 35, 37 years. And in fact, I've worked in Licking County for over 30 years, working for nonprofits charities through the years, and which I've thoroughly enjoyed. So when I ran for office in Licking County the first time, I already knew Licking County quite well. I knew a lot of people here and it felt like it was a second home. So now I have the honor of representing you in the Senate with a conservative platform and a history of service that reflects a strong and strict constructionist defense of our Ohio Constitution and U.S. Constitution. And I've passed numerous bills that benefit our Licking County residents, and I'm very proud of that, and I'm proud to be your state senator.
Thank you, Tim. Next question. Explain what you think could be done to improve relations between lawmakers of both parties for the good of all Ohioans. Your time to answer begins now.
You know, I think the Ohio State Senate is a great example that we have set for other states and the U.S. Congress, frankly, and any other legislative body. The Republicans and Democrats in the Ohio State Senate work well together. We have our differences. We have differences in policy, but that's where it stays. It's not personal. And if you were to attend one of our Senate sessions and see the hugs and see the handshakes, and then occasionally a wagging finger maybe, or, you know, a debate on the floor, you're going to see a very professional environment. And I'm very proud of that. And that's how we get things done. I've worked with Democrats as well as Republicans to pass great legislation. And, you know, when we can work together and when we agree on an issue that benefits all Ohioans, that's a great thing. And it's really neat to see in action. And I'm very proud of that. And I often tell folks who ask me about that, you know, how well do you get along with everybody? I always tell them, well, if you're thinking about what goes on in Washington, D.C., just turn the cable news off, because I think a lot of those cable news stations try to inflame things a little bit for advertising dollars. Come to the Ohio Senate and watch how we do business. I think everybody, Republican and Democrat alike, would be proud of how we conduct ourselves. So I think that's really the bottom line is you elect professionals, you elect professional people who have respect for others, and that's what you see in action.
Thank you. Next question. What are you doing or would you do to ensure that tech giants are good stewards of Licking County's natural resources? Your time to answer begins now.
Well, Licking County and more broadly, all of Ohio, we are blessed to have an abundance of natural resources, and it's a great asset for the people of Ohio. And this is a big reason why we're seeing so much development, why we're seeing so many companies attracted to Ohio and coming here to plant roots, to establish themselves, and make a living. With that, obviously, comes the responsibility for these tech giants. As an elected official, I think one of the most important ways I can help achieve this is by maintaining strong communication links and open dialogue with all the parties, our local governments, those who have stewardship responsibilities over our natural resources, and these large companies that are coming in that are learning about Ohio and learning about our culture, learning about our natural resources. We got to make sure that there's a strong equilibrium, a strong balance, and open communication lines there. And I'm very optimistic by these new business investments that are providing thousands of jobs in Licking County. Everything I have learned about these tech giants or large companies or any of them has been very positive. They are very respectful of our environment because they want to stay here. They want to be in business here. They want to make money. They want to provide jobs for families, provide a livelihood for our families, and they know that means being a responsible corporate citizen.
Thank you, Tim. Next question. How do you or will you work with local government officials to manage growth and development in Licking County? Your time to answer begins now.
Yeah, thank you for that question. I've got a great relationship with our local government officials throughout the 20th District. And one thing I've always stressed to my staff is, at staff at the State House and the Ohio State Senate, is when somebody calls, we don't ask party affiliation. We don't ask who you are, other than what can we do to help you? Who are you, and what responsibility do you have for the community that we can help? And we want to make sure that we're doing everything we can to help in all the local issues where we have the ability, be it local traffic congestion or whatever. And a good example of this is when I worked with Representative Claggett very closely in the last year on the last budget a year ago, and we got $20 million in for Licking County and the local governments to help continue those local governments' efforts to repair and reinforce and protect our infrastructure, roads, bridges, culverts, as all this increased traffic for Intel and all the other large tech giants that are moving in. We want to make sure that the local citizens, the local taxpayers, aren't footing the whole bill for those improvements. So we got $20 million in a budget, and it's things like that that Thad and I worked on to make sure that we were getting accomplished in working with our local officials. And, you know, that funding would not have been possible without the input of those local officials to make sure that we're doing the things and advocating for the things that will help.
Thank you. Tim, what are your thoughts about State Issue 1? Your time to answer begins now.
Well, I encourage everybody to vote no on State Issue 1. The current system we have in place under the Ohio Constitution was passed by over 70% of the voters several years ago, and that was after the General Assembly, which I was a part of, voted virtually unanimously, Republicans and Democrats together, to put it on the ballot. We had great unanimity on those issues that are in the Constitution today. So Issue 1 will completely throw all that out and institute a new system that is very disturbing. Now, here's something to think about. You can get into details of the law and the proposal and all that kind of thing and debate back and forth, but do you realize that Issue 1's backers are getting millions and millions of dollars from out-of-state and out-of-country donors? Why is that? I would rather have Ohioans decide what our election system is, how it's constructed, how it works, not European donors, not donors from Washington or New York or California. So you got to ask yourself, why are all these foreign donors donating to the Yes campaign? And I tell you, and I heard some discussion earlier that we'll have some strange-looking districts as a result. Absolutely. I think anybody that votes for this in a few years will have buyer's remorse when they realize what horrible, unrepresentative districts we could end up with under Issue 1. Please vote no.
And Tim, last question. Why are you the best candidate for this position? Your time to answer begins now.
Thank you for that. And again, thank you for hosting this for the citizens of Licking County. This kind of forum is great. Bottom line is I have the experience, the knowledge, and the relationships in place built over 20 years for getting things done in Licking County. And that doesn't happen overnight. And the experience really counts. And I often tell people, the value of experience is in your darkest hour when your company is in a crisis, when your family's in a crisis. And we've dealt with a lot of crises. People that were knocked off their meds on Medicaid and they needed to get them and they were spiraling downward. You want that experience in your corner to get things done for you. And there have been times when we have spent minutes and hours getting something done, getting people back on their meds, for example, under Medicaid, that normally would have taken days or even a couple of weeks. It's all hands on deck in my office when we have somebody in crisis, and I make it very clear. And I hire these kinds of staff. These are the kinds of people I want working for Licking County in my office, is folks who realize it's all hands on deck. We've got to help this person, this family, this small business, and we have saved so many small businesses and families working with that kind of work ethic, and I think that's very important. And that's how I lead my office, and that's how I advocate for Licking County. And we have performed with legislation, great legislation, and getting appropriations like the $20 million for the Intel area for local governments. It's that kind of experience that we bring to bear, and we advocate for Licking County.
Thank you, Tim. When we return from the break, we will be joined by State House Representative 69th District, You're listening to the Licking County Forum on Kate 98.7.
Now back to the Licking County Candidate Forum on Kate 98.7.
Welcome back to the Licking County Candidate Forum on Kate 98.7. I'm Kelsey, and right now I am joined by our candidates for State House of Representatives 69th District, Democrat Jamie Huff and Republican Kevin Miller. Beforehand, we did a coin toss to determine who would answer our questions first. So, Kevin, you are going to be our first person to answer. Kevin, can you briefly tell us about your personal and professional background and why you are running for the position of State House of Representatives? Your time to answer begins now.
Sure. A little bit about me. I'm a resident of Franklin Township here in Licking County. I've been married to my high school sweetheart, Megan, for over 24 years, and we have two grown children. I'm a retired state trooper with over 22 years of service and was the post commander of the Granville Post right here in Licking County for over 2 years. I was appointed to the House of Representatives in 2021, and I'm running to continue my service for the residents of the 69th House District, which includes portions of Licking, Perry, and Fairfield counties. I've dedicated decades of my life as a state trooper to public safety and have continued that at the Ohio State House, advocating for law and order and our first responders. I want to continue to be the voice for those who protect and serve us every day in our communities. As the current representative for House District 69, I believe it's my job to secure our share of the tax revenue we send to the state. I have a proven track record of doing just that. Most recently, I secured nearly $13 million in the capital budget for the House District 69, and I want to continue fighting for our communities in Columbus.
Thank you, Kevin. Jamie, same question for you. Can you briefly tell us about your personal and professional background and why you are running for the position of State House of Representatives? Your time to answer begins now.
Hi, I'm Jamie Huff, and I'm a proud father of three boys, a 17-year-old, 14-year-old, and 13-year-old. Very good students of the Heath Public School System, very proud of them. And, you know, I grew up in a rural community, and the rural lifestyle means a lot to me, and taking care of our rural communities is important. Growing up, you know, I grew up on a dirt road in a single-wide trailer with holes in the floor and a fan in the window. And I remember when we got off the bus, if there was feathers on the ground, we were having chicken tonight, you know. Professionally, I have been an operations manager for about 23 years, and I've always been known as a turnaround manager. I'm the guy they send in to get a pulse of what's happening and build a new team, get them trained up and ready, and leave them off and come back and check the pulse later. I'm running for office to take care of my kids and make sure we fight for our community.
Thank you, Jamie. Jamie, next question for you. Explain what you think could be done to improve relations between lawmakers of both parties for the good of all Ohioans. Your time to answer begins now.
I think it's time we move past the culture wars. You know, the issues facing Licking County and the other counties of our district aren't left or right. They're Ohioan issues, and it requires Ohioans to come to the table to fix those.
Thank you, Jamie. Kevin, same question for you. Explain what you think could be done to improve relations between lawmakers of both parties for the good of all Ohioans. Your time to answer begins now.
I believe that concentrating on the issues we can all agree on better suit Ohioans rather than the constant fighting over our disagreements. You know, sure, there are things that I'm never going to agree with my Democrat colleagues on, but there's certainly things that we can tackle together. For example, I have joint-sponsored legislation with my colleagues from across the aisle. I'm carrying House Bill 241 with Representative Joe Miller. It allows police departments to fill vacancies quicker by allowing lateral transfers and not going through the lengthy civil service process. I'm also carrying another bill, House Bill 333, with Representative Bride Sweeney. It prohibits arrest and ticket quotas. So essentially, it's prohibiting using our police officers as revenue generators. You know, I have seven pieces of legislation in the Senate that have passed through the Ohio House, all in a bipartisan fashion, and many of them were unanimous votes. So this just isn't a talking point for me. I have a proven track record of getting things done with folks on both sides of the aisle to benefit all Ohioans.
Thank you, Kevin. Next question's for you, Kevin. What are you doing or would you do to ensure that tech giants are good stewards of Licking County's natural resources? Your time to answer begins now.
This is actually a subject that's near and dear to me. Most people don't know that my undergraduate degree is actually in natural resources. I think that working closely with our soil and water district is important. In fact, I was just at their annual banquet earlier this week. I maintain constant contact with those folks, specifically Christy Hawthorne and her staff. I regularly attend events and meetings to stay current on what's going on in the county. In addition to county resources, we provide funding and grants at the state level to help ensure that the Soil and Water District has the resources needed to provide the oversight and protect our precious soil and water resources. I like to say that Soil and Water is our local boots on the ground, and them, along with the Ohio EPA, they're our watchdogs. So ensuring that they have adequate resources is a priority of mine. With respect to the tech companies themselves, holding them accountable through the construction and operational phases is important, and communication with them about the importance of our local natural resources is also essential. Engaging them about the culture of our rural community is also critical, and I've personally attended several events where we have had the opportunity to interact.
Thank you, Kevin. Jamie, the question will now go to you. What are you doing or would you do to ensure that tech giants are good stewards of Licking County's natural resources? Your time to answer begins now.
I will work to ensure that tech companies follow strict environmental guidelines and give back to the community by investing in sustainable practices. I will look to work with community leaders, these big businesses, environmentalists, and those alike to make sure that we're doing the right things for our community. We must protect our natural resources while promoting responsible growth here in Licking County.
Thank you, Jamie. Next question goes to you. Jamie, how do you or will you work with local government officials to manage growth and development in Licking County? Your time to answer begins now.
I will actively collaborate with local leaders to manage growth in a way that supports both the economy and quality of life. We need balanced development that creates jobs while protecting the unique character of our communities.
Thank you, Jamie. Kevin, this question will now go to you. How do you or will you work with local government officials to manage growth and development in Licking County?
I believe first and foremost, having relationships with local elected officials is critical, and I'm happy to say I have those relationships, which includes the ability to pick up the phone and have those sometimes tough conversations. I believe in local zoning and don't believe that the state should be dictating what our communities look like. I'm a firm believer that each community has the ability to determine their destiny and what their community will look like, whether it's maintaining agricultural areas, welcoming manufacturing, or expanding housing, they must decide their future. This is why I voted to allow more local control with respect to solar farms. I supported a bill that allowed our county commissioners to implement exclusionary zones if they wish to do so, which at the request of several townships, our commissioners have done here in Licking County. With that being said, the state does have the ability to assist with programs and incentives, and we have done that here in Licking County with infrastructure. But essentially, if they need further assistance with housing or economic development, they have to ask for that support, and we can do what we can at the state level to help them accomplish those goals. The key in this area is to communication and collaboration at all levels.
Thank you, Kevin. Next question for you. Kevin, what are your thoughts about State Issue 1? Your time to answer begins now.
I'm voting no on Issue 1. Issue 1 is bad for Ohioans, especially Licking County, with its proximity to urban areas like Columbus. It's being touted as an anti-gerrymandering initiative, but it's really a bait-and-switch scheme that enshrines gerrymandering into our Constitution. It's being funded by out-of-state special interest groups to the tune of over $25 million. You know, in 2015 and 2018, voters overwhelmingly passed real anti-gerrymandering reforms. These reforms preserved county, municipal, and township boundaries. Additionally, they required compact districts. Issue 1 would undo all those reforms to comply with proportionality requirements. So you might ask, how would that affect counties like Licking County? Well, rural communities like Licking County would have to be drawn into urban areas with an overwhelming percentage of Democratic voters, and those seats would then flip. This would not allow our conservative voices to be representative at the state and federal levels. What people do not know is that the current maps were actually approved unanimously by both Republicans and Democrats. There's simply no need to break up our communities and enshrine gerrymandering into our state constitution.
Thank you, Kevin. Jamie, what are your thoughts about State Issue 1? Your time to answer begins now.
I'm a hell yes on issue one, and it's about time we return the districting process to the citizens and not the politicians. I think us voters have voted three times to make sure that we're not gerrymandering the state, and Ohio courts have ruled seven times that these maps are unconstitutional. So it's clear that the politicians in office today aren't listening to the will of the voters. So for me, it's a yes on issue one, because I believe that citizens, not politicians, should be drawing these district maps. And if you've noticed, the GOP is quite worried about that.
Thank you, Jamie. And Jamie, last question for you. Why are you the best candidate for this position? Your time to answer begins now.
You know, I'm a proud father. I work hard. I live paycheck to paycheck. I'm in touch with the day-to-day realities that most folks are facing. I understand what it's like to go to the grocery store every day and struggle to do those things. I understand what it's like to take my son to a doctor's appointment and not have the money up front that he's going to need in order to be seen. I understand what it's like not to be able to afford housing at this time. I understand what it's like in this competitive state with no one looking out for us. So at the end of the day, I feel like I relate more to the everyday Ohioans than most do, and I will fight for those folks.
Thank you, Jamie. Kevin, last question for you. Why are you the best candidate for this position? Your time to answer begins now.
I bring a unique and important perspective to the General Assembly. I was honored to have a rewarding career in law enforcement before I got into politics, and I'm using that experience to be an advocate and the voice for our brave first responders at the State House. I'm a hardworking legislator who always has the best interest of my constituents in mind. I'm presently sponsoring 17 pieces of legislation, seven of which have passed on the House floor and are currently under consideration in the Senate. As I stated previously, all my legislation has bipartisan support, and many of my bills have passed with unanimous votes. I have voted to increase funding for both public and private education, as well as expand funding for our career technical programs and facilities. I have also voted to cut your Ohio State income taxes. I have the experience and a proven track record of delivering results for my district. As I previously stated, my goal is to bring our hard-earned money back to the district from Columbus, and I have returned millions of dollars to my district, most recently nearly $13 million in funding for local projects from the capital budget. I previously spoke about the importance of relationships. In this position, relationships are essential to deliver results. I have those key relationships at all levels, including within the communities I represent, with our local elected officials, my peers in the General Assembly, and also the administration. It's been an honor to represent the 69th House District, and I ask for your vote on November 5th.
Thank you, Kevin, and thank you both for your answers. When we return, we will close things out with our final questions for Licking County Commissioner candidates, all coming up on the Licking County Candidate Forum. You're listening on Kate 98.7.
Now back to the Licking County Candidate Forum on Kate 98.7.
Welcome back to the Licking County Candidate Forum. I'm Kelsey, and you're listening on Kate 98.7. Right now, I am joined by one of our candidates for Licking County Commissioner, Republican Tim Bubb. His opponent, James Snedden Jr., was invited but declined to participate in today's forum. We will continue to ask our questions to the present candidate. All right, Tim, can you briefly tell us about your personal and professional background and why you are running for the position of Licking County Commissioner? Your time to respond begins now.
My professional background really began after college as a broadcasting and journalism major. Worked in the Chamber of Commerce business for about a decade doing economic development. Did public relations for the U.S. Air Force. I was a radio news director in this market for 20 years, and for the past 20 years I've been a public official serving both in the city of Newark and also at the county government level. I'm also a graduate of Ohio University with an undergraduate degree, also a graduate degree from the University of Notre Dame through their leadership program for the Chamber of Commerce work. My background also includes nearly 20 years as president of the Newark Public Library System. In fact, my library credentials include the new $10 million library in downtown Newark. I led that campaign and built the building, and also new libraries in Johnstown and Hebron. I come from a private sector background, working in broadcasting, learning to supervise people, to make a payroll, and conduct business. And I like the feel that I've taken my business background and my community background into the office of county commissioner, and I bring that outlook to what I do every day, and I try to bring a degree of enthusiasm. I'm married to a lady of 45 years now, have three children, three grandchildren, live in the community of Heath, and I really appreciate this opportunity.
Thank you, Tim. Next question. What have you done or would you do to help local officials in cities, villages, and townships manage growth and development in ways that preserve the character of their communities and serve the best interests of all residents of Licking County? Your time to respond begins now.
Well, honestly, we do that every day. That's really what I've been about in my 20 years as county commissioner. I know the mayors of every community and the township trustees personally. We interact with them constantly. As you may know, the county government operates nearly 500 miles of county roads, and we maintain nearly 500 bridges. In fact, infrastructure is a big part of what we do, operating water and sewer plants, providing services in the community. Most people don't realize that county government is service, a service organization. We have more than 1,000 employees that we manage, and from a variety of departments, from law enforcement to the courts to engineering to animal control. We are a service organization. We serve the people of Licking County. And I say this, and I say it in all sincerity. People in county government and at the local commissioner level, we're the ones that make a difference in your life every day. Folks can go off to Washington. You may never see them again. They may go to Columbus. You may or may not know what they're doing in Columbus at the legislature, but I will guarantee you that at the local government level, you're going to know what we're doing every day, because we take care of your roads. We make sure that your sewer plant works. We take care of your animal control. We operate the jail and incarceration. We make the big difference in this community in terms of livability, and that doesn't even begin to touch on economic development, all we do to bring investment and jobs to Licking County.
Thank you, Tim. Next question. What are you doing or would you do to address affordable housing and homelessness in Licking County? Your time to respond begins now.
Two different questions. Affordable housing really has to do with siting, housing, zoning, and the ability to build houses affordably so that people can afford it. Affordability is a relative term. It depends really on your level of income. But I think what you mean is starter homes. We operate county building code. We enforce the building code to make sure that homes of any size are properly built. We also operate county planning, and we're working with the development community right now to site new development, to work on the density issues, to work with the townships in terms of zoning and their comp plans. So that right now there are more houses being built in Licking County than there has been in nearly a decade and a half. So we're working on the affordability and the housing inventory issue. The other part of the question you ask is the homeless question, and that's a completely different question. There's a lot of reasons that people are homeless. Sometimes for mental health issues, sometimes because of addiction, sometimes because their circumstances have put them in a tough spot right now. I'm a member of the Salvation Army Board. We spent $3 million to build a new shelter to try to accommodate those who need help. Through our veterans program, we work with homeless veterans, and we pay to help keep them off the street and in proper homes. We work every day working on drug addiction issues and working to help the homeless. It's a part of what we do.
Beyond growth and development, what are two or three other key issues you see facing Licking County, and what are you doing or would you do to address them? Your time to respond begins now.
Well, economic development is big. The answer to a lot of problems are jobs, jobs, and opportunity. Period. From a workforce training standpoint, we're doing what we can in a lot of arenas through our Ohio Means Jobs and others to find jobs for people, to encourage investment in this community. We have great sites. We created Grow Licking County to be the front door for economic development in Licking County. We bring in folks who want to create jobs and investment here. Jobs and opportunity really is what the future of the community is based on, because without an economic base, people will go elsewhere. Instead, people want to come to Licking County because we're creating jobs and investment and making good things happen here. Jobs and economic development are a big thing, whether it's expansion of the airport, Grow Licking County. The incentives we do are working with the cities, villages, and townships to bring in new jobs. That is a very big deal. The child care issue is another one that we're addressing currently with the YMCA and others. We're also even doing that for county employees, incentivizing women who have child care issues by providing some additional financing and compensation so they can return to the workplace. Child care is a major issue, and obviously drug addiction is a big issue. We've just initiated a program through our One Ohio Dollars and through the health department to do a navigator program to work to try to help people solve their addiction problems.
Last question. Tim, why are you the best candidate for this position? Your time to respond begins now.
How long do I have?
90 seconds.
Thank you. First of all, let me just say it's an honor to be here. I'm glad I'm here today to see you all. And I'll tell you, this is from the hip and it's honest. I'm disappointed my opponent chose not to come here. It's important that we talk to you, to the community, and everyone about these issues, what we do, why we do it, and why we're motivated to do it and continue doing it. And if you're not willing to come and talk about it, then I question whether you're a legitimate candidate or not. That's my personal opinion. I'm allowed to have it. I have been a county commissioner for 20 years. I've been invested in this community my entire life. Since college, I've worked to make this a better community and worked in innumerable volunteer opportunities throughout the years to make this a better place to live. I am fully engaged in economic development because I believe jobs, progress, and growth are what the future of our community are about, but doing it in a measured way. I was the representative through the framework, which was the initial blow in the comprehensive planning. We've initiated a number of plans at the county, and we'll be working on comprehensive planning because that is part of giving direction to the future of Licking County. Here's the bottom line. We want Licking County. We want to maintain the advantages and opportunities and the feel of Licking County at a time when it's still growing and more people want to come here. I'm honored to be here. I'm asking for your vote on November 5th, and I thank you all for the opportunity to speak to you today.
Thank you, Tim. Coming up, we are going to take a break and give our final thoughts afterwards. You're listening to the Licking County Candidate Forum on Kate 98.7.
Now back to the Licking County Candidate Forum on Kate 98.7.
Welcome back to Kate 98.7. I'm Kelsey, and that concludes our 2024 Licking County Candidate Forum. We want to extend a sincere thank you to all our candidates who participated today. We also want to thank our listeners for tuning in tonight on Kate 98.7. As a reminder, the election is coming up on November 5th. Be sure to exercise your right to vote and let your voice be heard. Your participation is essential in shaping the future of Licking County. This broadcast was made possible thanks to the Reporting Project, the Licking County Farm Bureau, and the WCLT Radio Group. Thank you and have a good night.
You've been listening to the Licking County Candidate Forum, live here on Kate 98.7. Tonight's forum was brought to you by the Reporting Project, the Licking County Farm Bureau, and the WCLT Radio Group.